at the American Booksellers Convention, get a few laughs, recapture our misspent youth for 3 or 4 hours, then go our separate ways. It didn't happen that way, because the group never quite broke up. We found that we liked playing together too much to quit, and with a couple of ringer musicians on sax and drums, plus, in the early days, our musical guru, Al Cooper, at the heart of the group, we sounded pretty good. You'd pay to hear us. Not a lot, not U2 or E Street Band prices, but maybe what the old-timers call roadhouse money. We took the group on tour, wrote a book about it, my wife took the photos and danced when the spirit took her, which was quite often, and continue to play now and then, sometimes as the remainders, sometimes as Raymond Burr's legs. The personnel comes and goes. Columnist Mitch Albom has replaced Barbara on keyboards, and Al doesn't play with the group anymore because he and Kathy don't get along. But the core has remained Kathy, Amy, Ridley, Dave, Mitch Albom, and me, plus Josh Kelly on drums and Erasmo Paolo on sax. We do it for the music, but we also do it for the companionship. We like each other, and we like having a chance to talk sometimes about the real job, the day job people are always telling us not to quit. We are writers, and we never ask one another where we get our ideas. We know we don't know. One night while we were eating Chinese before a gig in Miami Beach, I asked Amy if there was any one question she was never asked during the Q&A that follows almost every writer's talk. That question you never get to answer when you're standing in front of a group of author-struck fans and pretending you don't put your pants on one leg at a time like everyone else. Amy paused, thinking it over very carefully, and then said, "No one ever asks about the language." I owe an immense debt of gratitude to her for saying that. I had been playing with the idea of writing a little book about writing for a year or more at that time, but it held back because I didn't trust my own motivations. Why did I want to write about writing? What made me think I had anything worth saying? The easy answer is that someone who has sold as many books of fiction as I have must have something worthwhile to say about writing it. But the easy answer isn't always the truth. Colonel Sanders sold a hell of a lot of fried chicken, but I'm not sure anyone wants to know how he made it. If I was going to be presumptuous enough to tell people how to write, I felt there had to be a better reason than my popular success. Put another way, I didn't want to write a book, even a short one like this, that would leave me feeling like either a literary gas bag or a transcendental asshole. There are enough of those books, and those writers, on the market already, thanks. But Amy was right. Nobody ever asks about the language. They ask the DeLillos and the Updikes and the Styrons, but they don't ask popular novelists. Yet many of us proles also care about the language in our humble way and care passionately about the art and craft of telling stories on paper. What follows is an attempt to put down, briefly and simply, how I came to the craft, what I know about it now, and how it's done. It's about the day job. It's about the language. This book is dedicated to Amy Tan, who told me in a very simple and direct way that it was okay to write it. Second Foreword. This is a short book because most books about writing are filled with bullshit. Fiction writers, present company included, don't understand very much about what they do, not why it works when it's good, not why it doesn't when it's bad. I figured the shorter the book, the less the bullshit. One notable exception to the bullshit rule is The Elements of Style by William Strunk Jr. and E.B. White. There is little or no detectable bullshit in that book. Of course, it's short. At 85 pages, it's much shorter than this one. I'll tell you right now that every aspiring writer should read The Elements of Style. Rule 17 in the chapter titled Principles of Composition is omit needless words. I will try to do that here. Third Foreword. One rule of the road not directly stated elsewhere in this book: the editor is always right.